This is the day that the church celebrates that the Spirit of God was poured out on whoever wants it. We'd seen in the Old Testament certain people at certain times for certain events, the Spirit of God poured out, but everything changed. And one writer puts it this way, God's very life, breath and energy is now living within us. God's life, breath and energy is now living within ordinary old you. Is the truth of this amazing message. Jesus died, he rose again 3 days later, 40 days later he was taken up to heaven, it's called the ascension, ascended to heaven, and then 10 days after that, the Spirit of God was poured out on the first believers and has been poured out ever since. And the Spirit of God was sent, the third person of the Trinity, Father, Son and Spirit, was sent at the request of the Son. Jesus was saying, I need to go away. I need to go back to the Father so that he will send the Spirit. You see, Ascension Day, as some people have said on social media over the week before last, is the day that Jesus returned to working from home. You know, he went back to heaven. So he started working from home. So he operates now on earth in your life and my life, in the details of what you're on with, in other people's lives, how he uses us. God does it by his Holy Spirit. Romans 8:11 says this. First Sunday of the month, we don't focus on Romans, but still this verse is still burning within me. From the message, it stands to reason, doesn't it? That if this alive and present God who raised Jesus from the dead moves into your life, he'll do the same thing in you that he did in Jesus, bringing you alive to himself. Whole new way of living here, folks. As the Spirit comes to dwell within us, we become totally different beings and we live differently to people around us. When God lives and breathes in you, and he does, as surely as he did in Jesus, real affirmation there, we might feel ordinary, but the Spirit of God is in here. You're the home, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You carry God within you. You are delivered from that dead life. Sometimes the Bible is exceptionally strong in language, isn't it? If we're living without God, he says we're dead. It doesn't mean we can't drive a car. It doesn't mean we can't hold a job. And it doesn't mean we can't love our families, but dead. With his Spirit living in you, your body will be as alive as Christ's. Gosh. I think I mentioned to you a few weeks ago that we were going to the House of Lords. That happened a couple of weeks ago, where the minister of the church, when I was a student, invited about 40 people back, with partners, so it was Sarah and myself. So about 20 of us that are now church ministers or similar from the era when we were students. I didn't know him very well. Well, to be honest, I'm not sure I ever spoke to him as a student. You know, I was in my student bubble, but his was the church I went to when I got saved and went very regularly and was part of it and was really formative in my first 2 or 3 years as a Christian. You know, had a deep impact on me. He's preaching and teaching. Nick Cuthbert is the guy. And so, anyway, I invited him back here a few years ago. We had a joint service with King's Church. Some of you remember that. And he came and spoke and he remembered anyway. So we went and they gave us a nice meal. And in the Houses of Parliament, and then we did a tour of both the Lords and the Commons. Got to stand at the dispatch box just for a few moments. Scary thought, isn't it? Scared me, let alone any of you. But you know, scary thought at the dispatch box. You're not allowed to take photos. There's no photos or any of that. But then over the meal, he wanted us to bring one memory from our time as students. And I've told the story before, but it's the one that stuck in my mind. It's the Sunday I took Carl Harris to church. And Carl lived in the same block as me as a student. And Carl, to my knowledge, had no church background, but was a fairly effusive sort of guy, an outgoing character. Took him along to church. This guy, Nick Cuthbert, preached and said, if you want to become a Christian, come over here and there's a queue of people and we'll pray for you there. If you want to be full of the Holy Spirit, come over there and people will pray for you over there. So service finished, Carl went straight over to the list of people to become a Christian. And it was 300 or 400 people in the room. So I lost him in the queue of what was going on. And then Carl, clearly, I just knew he was in the line to be prayed for to be a Christian, which I think is amazing. You know, this guy who knows nothing is suddenly giving his life to Jesus. Then things going on, worship is happening and stuff. And next minute I see Carl, I catch him out of the corner, lying on the ground over here. You know, last time I saw him there. So he'd gone, he'd become a Christian, same evening, he thought, I'll be full of the Holy Spirit as well. Went over there, powerfully impacted by God, and ends up lying on the floor. And I said to, so Carl was on my block. We went back to where we lived as students, and I walked him round the lake, as I did with a number of people, and just said, just tell me what's happened to you tonight. Just wondered if he knew anything that had gone on. And he said, I don't know what really happened tonight. He said, all I can tell you is that I felt like the Ready Break Man. You know, if you remember the advert, I felt like I had a glow all around my body coming through me. Because the Holy Spirit, you see, gripped this guy's life, turned up, made himself real, poured himself onto, filled him. Just a couple of weeks ago, I sat with somebody who was in hospital, tough situation, filling out a form. The person that's with them filling out the form works out they're a Christian. Prays for them there and then. It's tricky these days in a situation to do that. Obviously just felt stirred. And they said that just hope flooded their heart in that moment. In that tough situation, the Spirit of God turns up. Here he is again, filling. We're empowered to be changed and impact others. When the Feast of Pentecost came, these are the early disciples, they were all together in one place without warning. There was a sound like a strong wind, gale force. No one could tell where it came from. It filled the whole building. Then, like a wildfire, the Holy Spirit spread through the ranks and they started speaking a number of different languages as the Spirit prompted them. The personal, it's personal, this filling of the Holy Spirit, as well as corporate. Sometimes you find churches go through a season of being baptized by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you find, and we've known it in our church as well, times of greater sense of that intensity, a corporate sense of, hey, God's filling the room again. God's here just a bit more tangibly and a bit more significantly. Continue to send your Spirit, Lord. But it's also personal. That's what happened to these guys, and it's personal, and two things happen. One, it will always transform us. It's never just a momentary experience. I don't know what happened to Carl Harris, you know what I mean? He's not somebody I stayed in contact with. He lived on my block, but I have no knowledge now. But if he had a genuinely experience of God and he engaged with it, it will have transformed his life. Must be transformative. And secondly, it will provoke something within us. It will stir something within us that maybe lies dormant, that you are put on this planet to change the world around you. As well as God blessing you, you are now a carrier of his presence. So last week, since I saw you last week, we've been down to see Becca in Switzerland, taking a load of her stuff, a car full of stuff, drive down, dump it all off, spend a couple of evenings with her, drive back, and all good fun. But we stayed on the way back in the Champagne region in a town called Epernay. Anyone been to Epernay? So you've got this street in Epernay, which is, it's almost like a road of embassies, I think, which has got the main houses of all the Champagne houses. So like the head offices, so these spectacular buildings where this fancy Champagne is being stored and has been matured, and you can see some of the industrial units behind. And so and it's just field after field, thousands of acres of these grapes. They don't look like that at the moment. It's the wrong time of the year. I was hoping to bring some back, actually. But it's the wrong time of the year. So you've just got the fields are there, the vines are full, but the grapes are just miniature at the moment. But here's the interesting thing, isn't it? God is forming our character, developing fruit within us. But you can have the most perfect fruit as you observe it on a vine. But the sweetness only comes when it's crushed. The fruit, the sense of how is God transforming your life and my life? Where are we up to on this? How are we doing on the journey, this pilgrimage of life, of becoming the people that God has caused us to be? Well, like even the greatest wine for Champagne, only is really tested once some pressure is put on it, to see if it's of the right sweetness and the right acidity, of the right quality. But the fruit of the Spirit, this is what the fruit of the Spirit, as this Holy Spirit comes and matures us, is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let me just read it to you from the Message, which I find really helpful. But what happens when we live God's way? He brings gifts into our lives, much the same way fruit appears in the orchard. How are you maturing? What grape do you look like at the moment is the question I'm asking. You get it, don't you? You're hanging on the vine there. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way in life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. Intimacy with Jesus will always form and transform us. And it's only when we get crushed a little, when the pressure's on, when we're squeezed a bit, do we find how well we're doing in this journey, how far along we've gone. The gifts of the Spirit are not meant to give us a shortcut to maturity. One of the dangers in the church, this is a guy called Rich Velloda speaking, is we expect the gifts of the Spirit to quickly do what only the fruit of the Spirit is meant to do, slowly. We see time and time again in church circles where leaders lose their jobs because of some failure when it comes to their character formation. And we do it in church, but you can take any environment. We tend to hire on gift, and people tend to lose their jobs based on character. Well, if it's truly God at work in our lives, it's our characters he will be forming. The fruit of the Spirit forms us. And this pressure means that we form ourselves into a community and a person that adopts the character of Jesus for ourselves. I was reading about Count Zinzendorf of the Moravians. So early Protestants here, even pre-Luther, you know, sort of a contemporary, but just a bit earlier than Luther, 1731, he heard about the plantations in the West Indies where Africans had been shipped to and were in horrendous conditions. He'd heard about this. He's a Christian. So he starts campaigning about this, saying this isn't right. People should not be kept in slavery. So his little community, this church community that were taken seriously, that God would want them to relate to fellow mankind. What were they? Patience, kindness, love, goodness. The fruit of the Spirit was forming this community. So two of them said, I'll go over to the Danish West Indies and sell myself as a slave to join the slaves so I can reach them for Jesus. Gosh. So they went to the plantations. Over 18 months, they only saw one person become a Christian. Only one person became a follower of Jesus. And then the following year, 17 more Moravians went along. This was 1734. 17, eight of them died of yellow fever pretty quickly. So you say, is the Spirit of God forming us? It's like, I've got a bit of a way to go. So then, and then another 11 went the next year. So 1735, 11 went. Most of them were then forced home because of the difficult conditions. And three of them even died on a shipwreck on the way home. You know, it's like, that's tough going, isn't it? Anyway, this guy, Count Zinzendorf, in 1736, went to visit the colony. He'd heard the bad reports. He wasn't expecting to see much at all. All he'd heard was discouragement after discouragement, but he found a church of 800 people that had now given their lives to Jesus because of these Moravian missionaries. You see, when the pressure is put on our lives, people sort of taste something, they sense something. They know if what you have is genuine or not. And when they squeeze us, is it patience, kindness, love? Forbearance, self-control. Is that what they find when they rub shoulders and squeeze us? And if they do, they maybe think, well, maybe this God is real. I think one of the hardest things, so are we embracing the Holy Spirit not just for an experience, but to transform us. I think one of the hardest things in following Jesus is when we're in a tough situation is, do I stay or do I get out? You know, I think that's one of the hardest things as a Christian to ask the question. Does God want me to stay in this situation? Or does God think I'm just hurting myself here and I need to get out? I've got more growth and development to do somewhere else. I think when I'm talking to you guys and we're trying to plot life together, I think that probably is one of the hardest decisions. You know, the workplace is toxic. Should I stay or do I need to get out? This friendship group is dragging me down. Do I stay and live for Jesus in the midst of it, or do I need to look after myself and my spirituality and get out of this thing? Should I move house because the neighbours are a nightmare? Am I meant to be in this community? You understand these questions come our way, don't they? Should I stay? Is God for me? Usually, I think we only answer those questions with the help of others. And kind people are not the ones to ask. They'll want to rescue us out of it. Usually a kind person will say, oh, that's just difficult. Come on, let's go do something easier. Let's just get you out of it. Which sometimes is the right answer. But you want some wisdom in the midst of this, the wisdom of the Holy Spirit to know, no, you are exactly where you're meant to be, and the fruit of the Spirit is going to pour out of your life. And other times, with some wisdom and advice, you'd say, God now wants me out of here. He's done what he wants to do. But the fundamental question is this, not what do I want, but what does the Holy Spirit want of my life? And that's what we have to get to. That's the essence of the question. Where is the Holy Spirit guiding me? There was one time when work wasn't great. Can't get into the details now. Time doesn't allow. Work was not great. And then had some conversations, but was utterly convinced I needed to stay in that workplace. Wasn't terrible for long, actually, but probably a year wasn't great. But I didn't know it was going to be a year. You don't know, do you? But it was a year. It wasn't great at all. And I knew for that year I couldn't look at another job advert. I couldn't countenance even moving. I knew I was meant to be there. Therefore, I'm going to live there for God. I'm not going to have the conversation. I processed it with others. No, this is where I'm meant to be. There's other times you need a release from God. And the Holy Spirit says, now go. And only others really help us with that. The gifts of the Spirit, when power is released. So we've got the fruit of the Spirit being formed within us, and then we've got the gifts of the Spirit being released through us. The power of the resurrected Jesus resides in you and me. The power of the Spirit that healed sicknesses, that gave divine insight through words of knowledge and words of prophecy, plus even operated in supernatural faith to see miracles happen. We get it, don't we? I hope that the Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead, that same Spirit is the one who's made his home in us. You see, I'm utterly convinced for all the fruit formation that I'm passionately believing, there are moments when God wants to bring a breakthrough in people's lives. We need to move from A to B and we need to do it suddenly. This needs to change now, and God wants to move it like a blow it away like a dam so that a flood of life can come into this thing. Some people are just so stuck in life, and what they need is a breakthrough of the Holy Spirit. We are the ones who carry that Spirit to pray for and be with people so they can have their breakthrough moment. Like my friend Carl Harris, who can experience God. Do I believe that would have happened to him every day? He's like, of course not. It's a breakthrough moment. There'll be some of us in the room this morning that know you need a breakthrough moment of the filling of the Spirit of God for his gifts to be liberated within you. You'll know it's you because as you're sitting there now, you've probably overcome a bit. You feel a bit warm, actually. You feel like the pressure of the Holy Spirit. He's speaking to you. I don't need to convince you. This is your moment for a breakthrough. And we'll pray for you later because we are carriers of these breakthroughs. God's various gifts are handed out everywhere, but they all originate in God's Spirit. God's various ministries are carried out everywhere, but they all originate in God's Spirit. God's various expressions of power or in action are everywhere, but God himself is behind it all. Each person is given something to do that shows who God is. Everyone gets in on it. Everyone benefits. All kinds of things are handed out by the Spirit and to all kinds of people. The variety is wonderful. So we carry these within us, these gifts. Wise counsel, clear understanding, simple trust, healing the sick, miraculous ask, proclamation, distinguishing between spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues. All these gifts have a common origin but are handed out one by one by the Spirit of God. He decides who gets what and when. Maybe there's a yearning in your heart this morning. God, will use me in my workplace to bring a breakthrough for somebody there? Will you impart your gift into me so that can be spread in the world in which I live? Let me sum up all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. If the band want to come back. Let me sum up all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. God can do anything, you know, Ephesians 3:20. God can do anything, you know, says the Apostle Paul. Far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, his Spirit deeply and gently within us. You see, our incredible ordinariness, being unbelievably average at life, as far as God is concerned, is absolutely fine. He's not looking for superheroes. He's not looking for people that triumph in life. You know, that are always the top of the class, always do best in the workplace. We want to do the best we can. That's a different subject. When it comes to God being at work in our lives, then he's just looking for ordinary people that have truly surrendered to him. That say, will you form me? Spirit of God, I'm open to be formed by you. Will you pour your gifts into me? Spirit of God, will you pour your gifts into me so I can carry breakthroughs for others? We're going to continue to worship in a moment. Jesus says this, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. We're just going to focus on Jesus for a moment as we worship. And we're just going to allow him continue to be the focus of our worship and our heart this morning. And as we surrender our heart to him, I'm utterly convinced he will do his part in asking the Father to send the Spirit to us. So we're going to start just by worshiping Jesus.
Upon the cross, I'm reaching out with all I've got. I'm letting go to start again. I need your love, that's why I'm here. Outside my life it goes, and while I'm here I give my love. You are my peace within the storm. Here at the cross I find I'm Grace and mercy, Father.